follows. Change of zone number 2025 North Property LLC. Change of zone number 2026 Delaware Property LLC. Subdivision 23-14 North Star Property LLC. And conditional use number 2499 North Property LLC.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. CZ25 is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an agricultural residential district to a C3 heavy commercial for a 12.696 acre portion of a certain part of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 403.07 acres as recently surveyed, or 419 acres as scaled and shown on the Sussex County tax map, more or less. The property is the southeast side of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9, and the north and southeast sides of Beaver Dam Road, which is Sussex County Route 285, approximately 2.4 miles southwest of Coastal Highway, which is where the 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 334, Map 5, Parcel 175.00. Submitted into the record for this change of zone application, we have a copy of the rezoning plan from the applicant, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the staff analysis. We have a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, with the applicant's environment assessment and public facilities evaluation report, and I would note that we have received 32 comments, including a petition with 258 signatures, which are included in your paperless packet. Application CZ2026 is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a 7.88 acre portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 433 acres as recently surveyed, or 419 acres as scaled and shown on the county's tax map, more or less. The properties are lying on the southeast side of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9, and the northwest and southeast size of Beaver Dam Road. The tax parcel ID is District 334, Map 5, Parcel 175.00. Staff would note a portion of that parcel. Submitted into the record for CZ2026, we have a copy of the applicant's survey and rezoning plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report. We have a copy of the staff analysis. And I would note we received 31 comments, including a petition with 258 signatures. Application 2023-14 is a subdivision application, is a coastal area cluster subdivision application to divide 379 acres plus or minus into 758 single family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land containing 433 acres as recently surveyed, or 419 acres as shown on the county tax map, and lying in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the southeast side of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9, and the northwest and southeast side of Beaver Dam Road, which is Sussex County Route 285. The tax parcel ID is District 334, Map 5, Parcel 175.00, and staff would note it's a portion of that parcel. Submitted into the record for the subdivision application, Mr. Chairman, and bear with me, there are quite a number of documents here. We have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan. We have a copy of the State Plus response letter. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, which contains a phasing plan, a copy of the environment assessment and public facilities evaluation report, a copy of the applicant's Chapter 89 written response, a copy of the applicant's response to the plus comments. We have a copy of the DLDOT traffic TID participation letter, and we have a copy of the applicant's archaeological assessment. We have a copy of the applicant's design review submittal. We have a copy of a forest delineation report. We have a copy of the applicant's drainage assessment report, and we have a copy of the applicant's resource buffer management report, along with an ability to serve letter and the proposed deed restrictions for the subdivision. I would also note there is a written waiver request letter regarding grading in the packet. We also have the technical advisory committee comments that have been received, including written comments from the State Historical and Cultural Affairs Division, a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, a letter from the US Department of Agriculture, a letter from the State Fire Marshal's Office, a letter from Delaware Electric Co-op. We also have a letter from the Delaware Division of Public Health. We have a letter received from the Division of Watershed Stewardship. We have a copy of the staff review letter and the applicant's response to that staff review letter. And in total for the subdivision, we received 73 written responses, including a 258 signature petition, which is included in your paperless packet. And finally, Mr. Chairman, we have application CU2499, which is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district to allow for multifamily dwellings, which is 94 units, to be located on a 7.8 acre portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and number Hub of 100, Sussex County, containing 433 acres as recently surveyed, or 419 acres as scaled and shown on the Sussex County tax map, more or less. The property is lying on the southeast side of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9, and the northwest and southeast sides of Beaver Dam Road, which is Sussex County Route 285. The tax parcel ID is District 334, Map 5, Parcel 175.00. Excuse me, and staff would note a portion of that parcel. Submitted into the record for the conditional use application, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, that includes the State Plus comments. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the staff analysis, and we have a copy, we have received 32 comments, including a petition with 258 signatures. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, because this these applications all are all part of the Transportation Improvement District, and that is a relatively new concept, we as a part of our ongoing efforts to foster intergovernmental coordination with our state agencies, we have asked our friends from DelDOT to make a presentation on what that exactly that is and how it relates to this particular group of applications. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having us. My name is Pamela Steinbach. I'm the Director of Planning for DelDOT. It is on the green. Okay. These are not my books, thank goodness. So I am going to, so at this point, like the chairman had said, I'm going to specifically go through what a TID is, what specifically some of the points of the Henlopen TID, and then if there are any questions specifically for North Star, we will be here to answer any of those, but I'm just going to go over a general overview first. So, what a Transportation Improvement District is. So, it is a geographical area defined for the purpose of securing required improvements to transportation facilities in the area to meet the demands and the growth development consistent with a comprehensive plan. So what basically that means is taking a proactive approach to transportation and land use and trying to forecast and accommodate what a growth area is going to be, making sure that we do the appropriate traffic analysis and forecasting as it's related to the comprehensive plan. We work together with the county. If there are MPOs, we work with them too. It's a very collaborative process. So what the benefit is that when we can plan for the growth, we know it in advance. That makes the planning, the transportation planning process a little bit easier because we can already see what the area is supposed to grow up to be, and we can plan for the associated transportation improvements. So what the benefit is for any developers that are in that TID is that as long as their development is consistent with what DelDOT and the county, and if an MPO is in place, then they can forego having to do a large TIS or traffic impact study. That normally takes a fair amount of time because you have to take counts, you have to forecast the average daily traffic out. You have to analyze what the intersection what the intersection level of service is. So we do all of that in advance, so that as long as the developer is building consistent with the number of trips that we estimated as part of the TID, then they well, I'll get into specifically what they do, but if they pay a fee that has been agreed upon by the county and DelDOT, and that's for any off-site improvements, but they still are required to do all of their entrances and that. But I can go into that more. So again, what the benefits are: proactive planning. It makes makes dealing with DelDOT a lot faster. It's more predictable, and we can then use those developer contributions to fund projects. So we know where, you know, some funding is going to come from. And the next slide. Okay. So just the base framework is, it's really all about the TID agreement. That gets worked on by DelDOT, by the county, and like I said, if there is an MPO in the area, they are involved as well. So we take either a master plan or a land use or transportation plan or a comprehensive plan, and we determine parcel by parcel what the use of that parcel is and what the maximum number of trips for what each of those parcels could generate. Once we do that, we then determine what the infrastructure fee is, and that is based on, it's separated out into residential and commercial. So it's a certain amount per square foot, I think, for the commercial, and then there are specific fees for whether it's single family, whether it's townhouse, multifamily, condos, apartments, that kind of thing. And then we, so as part of that monitoring program, is that once a TID is in place, we, every 5 years, we update, we update the traffic analysis, and we confirm that all of the parcels are still at that same number of trips. And then with that, then we can specifically figure out, based on what that geographic area and the number of, what the number of trips that are going to be generated from that development, then we can specifically determine what the improvements to the roads are going to be. So it could be things like a shared, multimodal. It could be shared use paths. It could be sidewalks. It could be widening the roads up to the functional, what the functional classification of the road is supposed to be. It could be, like, as I said, it could be widening to lanes. It could be widening of the shoulders. It could be widening from 2 lanes to 4 lanes. It could be a new road. It could be a roundabout. It could be a signal. So there are a whole host of improvements that that are flushed out as part of the number of trips. And then So that's like ultimately what a TID agreement is. The Henlopen TID was originally signed in 2020. So just a FYI on that. So once we have all of that information, then we can share it to any developer that does want to develop in the geographical area of the TID. They have a much better idea when they do their planning as to what the max number of trips that they can accommodate as part of their development. So with the contributions that the developers make and the funding that we get from both the feds and the state, then we fund the capital transportation projects, and those projects are what go into our six-year capital transportation plan. Okay, so specifically with the Henlopen, as I said, it was established about 4 years ago. It was not a small undertaking. It took 3 years to, because it is such an intensive, literally, you know, working with the county on a parcel by parcel analysis with the intersections and just how large it actually is. So about 24 square miles. It is the largest in operation. Magnolia is in analysis, but that's going to be coming on shortly. There is about $321 million in projects in this TID, and as part of the fee structure, the developers are contributing 24% of that. And then currently, right now, in the CCTP, about a third of the projects that were listed in the transportation improvements are already in the CTP. So they are already in the queue to be engineered and built. Okay. So we did do a forecasting. So we did do an update from that like five-year monitoring. So as part of signing the agreement in 2020, the traffic analysis was done in 2018. So we did an update around, for the traffic analysis, we did it around 2022, just to be ready to do that update. And we did want to make sure that the effects of COVID were, you know, gone. So not only did we do the level of service intersection and analysis, we did a segment analysis as well. And the reason you would do a segment analysis is to determine whether or not a road would need to be widened. Okay, I'm almost done because I am not the star of the show today, I hope. Okay, so currently we have 28 agreements signed. We have about 7 in process, and about $1.4 million have been collected. And about 800,000 are in like what we would equate to the developer in some instances is required to dedicate right of way, and then some of them have decided to instead of paying their like lump sum TID fee, that we have worked with them to for them to actually build some of the transportation improvements, and that's great, being that that just gets done faster. So I'm not going to read all of that, but like just about, you know, about $2.5 million so far, and that's since 2020. And then let's see, I think I have two more slides. So this is just some details and stats on the what we did for the traffic forecasting. So there were about 13,000 single family units, about 1.5 million in non-residential, and that purple is mixed use. So that two units per gross acre in AR, and then four in the residential districts. We did, I know that that says in May 20 of 18, but what we did was, since we had all of that info from 2018, when we did the traffic update, we made sure that we worked closely with the county to get any of those parcels that had bumped up their number of trips. We made sure and accounted for all of those. So we have the most up-to-date analysis that we can get. And then this is just an example of the fees. It has single family, multifamily low rise, multifamily mid rise, and then the amount of square feet. So there is an inflationary rate that gets put on these fees every January. So these are the most up to date. In January 30th of 2026, all these numbers will go up by 4%. And then this is just our amazing dashboard. So anybody can go onto this website. I do have a few updates. So we do have 14 for the number of TIDs. The amount of infrastructure is $792.2 million. So that's throughout the state. Seven of them are in operation. Seven of them are under in process. And then, so the ones that are in process are Roxana, which is down in this area, South Fred, Southeast Milford, Roxana, I have that. Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I actually just added it on my whole column. So write that. I'll have to get back. So the yellow ones are the ones in process, and the green are in effect. So I couldn't scroll all the way. So I just wrote the rest of them. So, and the great thing is that this is not this TID is somewhat new, but the TIDs have been in effect for over 10 years. So the process does work. It works well, and the great thing is that it is predictable, in as long as the land use and the trips and the number and the transportation improvements match. It's a great partnership between the developer, between the county, and with DelDOT. So that's all I had on that. Like I said, we do have specific information for the North Star development if any of you guys want any of that information as we go along. Myself, Todd, and Nate will be here to answer any questions. Okay?
All right, we thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Oh, sorry.
Any questions at this time?
I do.
Okay.
Hi.
Thank you for your presentation.
Of course.
I read in the packet that as part of the developer's contribution, that they will be required to construct a third of the Mulberry Road extension.
Yes,
I'm assuming that's a separate contract. That won't be what DelDOT is doing. That would be for the contractor to do that is hired by the developer if it's approved. My question is then, mm-hmm. what would be the timing? Would DelDOT require them to do those improvements first?
Sure. Well, that will be determined. So the developer has not entered into our process to do the record plan and the entrance plans. So when that process gets underway, we will talk with them about phasing, about when improvements will need to be done based on how fast they build their site out.
Okay. And then my other question was, can you assure us and all of the public here that the money that is being contributed by the developer will be put to use in a timely fashion to make those road improvements for that immediate area?
Sure. So the monies get held by the county. So when we need that funding to put towards, so that the funding that gets paid by the developer can only be used for TID improvements.
Okay.
So about a third of the projects are already ready in the CTP. So if there, I don't know offhand exactly how much funding has been used as part of the current CTP, but we will, as part of the CTP development process, when those CTP projects, and there are about 33 of them in the Henlopen TID, when, as part of our traffic forecasting, it says, hey, we need to, put this project in the CTP, that money will get filtered in for those projects.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Quick follow-on question,
please,
if you don't mind. So what about the rest of the development of Mulberry Knoll Lane?
Sure.
Connecting the rest of it. What's the timeline for that?
Sure. Well, that is currently in the CTP. We do have preliminary and engineering set out. I don't remember what, I'll have to check. We'll check our numbers on that. But that is the one of the hardest parts is to get it into the CTP, just because there's only a certain amount of, we have to be fiscally constrained in our CTP, plus there are projects up and down the state. But the great thing is that it is in the CTP. So that is a project that will get funded. It is going to get built, but it was just put in there, I think, in the last CTP. So I think the preliminary engineering is supposed to start 26 or 27. I'm not 100% sure, but that's but rest assured, the rest of that Mulberry Knoll is going to be built.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Yes, sir. So going through the road projects and looking through everything, are they going to qualify for any TIF money for any of these projects? Of TIF money, TIIF.
Sure.
Yeah.
And who did you ask?
Will they be qualifying for any of the TIF money?
For the
development.
Sudar? Well, so TIF is for economic development. So
correct.
Residential is excluded.
It also states that it could be established for walkways, trails, and so forth.
TIF funding or?
Yeah, TIF funding.
Yes, but that would be as part of the part of the requirement of that development. So there have been a bunch of TIF applicants that have had to build shared use paths and sidewalks. So as long as that shared use path or sidewalk is inside of public right-of-way or a permanent easement that has been recorded, then they can be eligible for TIF funding.
Thank you.
Of course. I actually run that program, so that was a very good question for me, because normally the TID is in Sarah's wheelhouse, so yes, but she thankfully is on vacation, so, but all right.
Anything else?
Just for the record, with the update, so the original traffic analysis was done in 2018, and it sounds like it was updated around 2022.
Correct.
This is a question we get asked all the time, and I know you all do too. Does that take into account not only, obviously, the sort of the baseline of assumptions of development for land based on its zoning, but does that also take into account approved but not yet built development?
There is we have both a background growth factor, but the TID is based on a full build out of all of those parcels. So even if, as long as it is zoned to be built, to grow up to be something, we have counted that as part of the analysis.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay. Anyone? Mr. Mears?
I think it would be good to tell the public how you decide whether or not the roads can handle huge communities like this. The roads are actually pretty well overloaded, and the commission's relying on DLDOT to say, hey, this isn't a good idea.
Sure.
How do you come to your decision?
Sure. So if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Nate to help. Nate is one of our consultant partners, and his team actually did the traffic analysis. So without me stumbling through it, I'm going to turn it over to Nate to answer that. You have to say your name, Nate.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. My name is Nate Rame. I work with JMT, a consultant on behalf of DLDOT. But like Pam said, we did the traffic analysis for the TID. Your question was specifically like the process of how we, you know, how do we determine our upgrades and things like that?
How do you say this is a good idea to do this development, that DLDOT's okay with it?
So the development specifically, Pam, you may be able to talk a bit more to that.
Yes. So specifically, what the development is really not as what the development is going to be is based on, for our purposes, is based on the number of trips in and out of that parcel. So it could be a barbershop, it could be a Redner's. So like for us as transportation engineers and planners, we are concerned about the number of trips
in and out.
The actual what it's zoned and like what it might be built up to be, that's not really in our wheelhouse.
I understand that. My question is, when is enough traffic? When is there too much traffic? When is this any application? When is there amount of trips too much, and DLDOT says this isn't a good idea? I've never seen that in my 5 years here.
So, all right,
ladies and gentlemen, hold it down. These folks have the floor.
I just wanted to bring that point, Mr. Chairman. That's all I have.
So,
you have to say your name, Todd.
Yes, I will. I'm Todd Sammons, the Assistant Director of Development Coordination. I work for Pam, she's our Director of Planning. So it's not our prerogative to make those determinations. Those are land use decisions. We are reactive to the land use decisions. And so we will give our analysis, our information, and then let the planning and zoning and county council make those determinations of whether they want to approve land uses or not. So
thank you, Todd. And
once again, that isn't the question.
So I think too, so not only with the TID D's, not only with the specific TISs that we review outside of TIDs. Our responsibility as the DLDOT and as part of the Division of Planning is to do wider range planning studies. And those not only take into account what the Delaware Population Consortium estimates as to how many people are going to be here in the next 25 years, but also where they're going to be, where they are going to be. So it is a collective approach as to trying to plan for what roads need to be widened, what roads need a roundabout. It's a multifaceted problem that is complex, and that is, we are as much as we possibly can with TIDs, with TISs, making sure that the developer is doing what the transportation improvement requires of them. We also
That's enough. That's enough. No calling out, no applause, no laughter. Happens again, I'm going to ask you to be removed. Hush. No, we don't do questions now. Later, you'll have your chance. Go ahead. Hold it. Write it down so you don't forget.
Okay. So we also do long-range planning studies. And if anybody has any questions about that, I can answer them later, or we can come back for a separate meeting to talk about the long-range planning for the county.
Well, it would be nice to read DLDOT's report on applications, and not every one of them say this amount of trips, and it won't be a significant impact, because every one of them can be a significant impact. We'd like some more feedback from you people, other than this is great. That's all I got. No need to talk about it anymore.
All right, sir. Any other questions?
I'm just going to echo Mr. Mears' commentary. It would be very useful, I think, for us and for the public to have a firm position about whether or not a road that currently exists in its current state can continue to accommodate the additional traffic for communities that are planned and newly proposed communities that are coming before us. Right now, I don't know that we feel like we get all of that input, and certainly the community doesn't sometimes seem to think that. So, thank you.
Sure. And specifically as part of the Henlopen TID and what will be done for Roxanna, we haven't officially said that is what the name of it, but that is the purpose. So those 33 projects are what we have determined as to what the road is supposed to be based on full build out of that geographic area. And it's all on time, but we'd be happy to send it over to you again or explain all of them if you need to.
Thank you.
So just, I want to remind the commission a little bit, because this is a different situation that we usually get because it's in the TID. And I'm going to ask DLDOT to correct me if I'm wrong on any of these steps or statements. But so the TID is a geographically designed area. And I was involved back when it was entered into in 2020 and prior to that. DLDOT did the full build out of the roads. I mean, it was actually shocking like how much detail went into that almost on an intersection by intersection basis with redesigns of those roadways to accommodate the development of the properties as anticipated by the county's current zoning as the comp plan. So that's already been taken into account in the TID on this case. I hear the comments because I think they're absolutely correct from Mr. Mears and Mr. Collins that the public feels as well. But it's a different process here. We're not getting that letter because we're not getting a TIS review letter that says what the impact. The bigger issue, I think, on this one is whether this project or any other project in the TID is whether it stays within those projections that were the basis for the TID in the first place. Because if it stays within those projections, which were the TID in the first place, then the roadway improvements necessary to accommodate the 2 units to the acre or whatever the case may be have already been built into the designs that are in the TID, and the funding that was generated based on those designs and the Delaware, the developer contributions and the state contributions that go into that. So this, and that's one of the reasons why we asked DLDOT to come speak first on this, because this is, I think, only the second bigger project we've had in the TID. The other one was on the other end of Mulberry Knoll Road about 5 or 6 years ago.
So, that's perfect. Thank you. I just think the commission or the the opposition needs to know that.
Yeah, so, and Mr. Mears, I get where you're coming from, because often, candidly, the county, not the TID so much, for the reasons I just said, but the point sort of is we're a little bit stuck, you know, like the county hears from, again, outside of TIDs, from the public and whomever that, you know, this shouldn't be built because it's going to have an adverse impact on traffic, you know, but and if the county were to take an action based on that, we've got a letter in the record that says DLDOT doesn't have any objection to it.
Exactly.
That as long as you build these roadway improvements, you're fine, and then the developer is forced to build the roadway improvements, and it becomes an economic issue, not whether it should be approved or not type of issue. So that's kind of where you're getting at. We rely on DLDOT. DLDOT relies on us, but there's never anybody saying too much is too much.
Yeah, and I just think it's good to get that out at the beginning of the meeting, because I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about traffic.
I just would ask everybody to keep in mind that this one is unique because it's in the TID and it's already sort of been forecast out
right. What
the anticipated development. The more relevant question is whether, in terms of the TID, and I'm only talking about the TID now, is whether the development as proposed stays within the confines of what's projected for those properties based on the TID assumptions. So,
I just have one more comment.
No, I got enough. I got to deal with you.
Don't do that to me, right? I just have one more comment while you guys are all three still up here. Back to the Mulberry Road thing. I did speak with the chief of the fire department at Lewis.
Okay.
And he said that road being extended would be key for their response time.
Okay.
So great. I would encourage, as the county works very closely with DLDOT, to make that a priority for the developer if it is approved. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the commission have any questions?
I've got one thing, and I'm going to expand on Holly here for a minute. So if you have 852 units.
What's that?
Pull the microphone closer.
Okay, sorry. I mean, there's quite a bit of growth in this area, and it is a TID. As Mr. Benson said, add an additional 852 units times most people have two cars. That's 1,704 cars. So I agree with Holly. I mean, we just can't stretch out a mile of road and call it good. Or maybe this is where Mr. Vincent was coming in on that. So that's just my comment.
Okay. Anything else, commissioners? All right. Thank you all very much. Please stick around. We may have some more questions for you later. And the chair recognizes.